From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. During his 2024 campaign, President Donald Trump proposed getting rid of the Federal Department of Education. It's been a goal of the Republican Party going back to the Reagan administration. But now, the Trump administration has taken major steps towards dismantling the department. Last week, it laid off more than 1,000 workers. Add on other recent cuts, and less than 2 months into Trump's second term, the Department of Education has about half the staff it did on Inauguration Day. For the first part of today's show, we're going to try to put into context what's happening and what it means here in Illinois, not only for federal workers based here, but also for students, teachers, professors, and their institutions around the state. Nader Issa has been following all this as education reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Nader, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Al Lorenz, the president of Illinois' largest teachers union, the Illinois Education Association. Al, welcome back to you as well.
Well, thanks for having me as well.
And Sharia Smith is the president of the American Federation of Government Employees Local 252, the union representing education department workers here. She herself was laid off in this latest round of cuts. Sharia, I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us the platform.
And I should note, we also invited the Illinois State Board of Education to join us. A spokeswoman for the agency declined, but they did give us a statement, which we will share a little later in the conversation. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Nader, I'm going to start with you. Can you just remind our listeners, what are some of the biggest things that the Department of Education does?
Yeah, the department, it was created by Congress in 1979. It really oversees a couple of key things in American education. Civil rights laws, it oversees funding for, students who come from economically disadvantaged backgrounds. It oversees special education laws and provides more funding for those students. And it oversees federal student aid. Those are sort of the key functions of the department. Administering grants and overseeing those laws and how they apply to different states.
And Sharia Smith, I understand you worked in the Office of Civil Rights. What did you and your colleagues do?
We enforce civil rights laws across this country. So if there were students who were sexually assaulted on their college campus and did not receive appropriate response from their universities, we investigated those complaints for free. The bulk of our work, though, was resolving complaints from American students and their families regarding the receipt of their required IEPs or 504s or other educational accommodations. And that work is no longer being done.
For people who aren't as familiar, IEP, that's individual education plan. This is for students with special needs or who need, maybe they have a disability or some learning difference and they need special accommodations from their department. Can you say more about what that is?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And, that goes until not just from elementary to secondary, but that's also post-secondary. Some of the cases we were receiving in our offices were from college students, stating that they, were on record, should have been receiving extra time for their test, and for whatever reason, weren't receiving those accommodations. And so that's, we were there to enforce their rights as American citizens. And though those laws are still on the books, there's no one to enforce them.
Al Lorenz with the Illinois Education Association. From your perspective, what do Illinois schools and colleges and teachers and professors get out of the Department of Education's work?
Since we take any kid that comes to the schoolhouse, whether they need special accommodations, whether they're from poor and disadvantaged backgrounds, all of the things that are funded in Illinois are going to be impacted by this. 80% of public schools in Illinois are currently underfunded. And so if you cut funding, you're only going to make that situation worse. And since we are not a specialized entity when it comes to taking folks. Like I said, we take anybody that comes. We do need accommodations to be able to handle students with disabilities, et cetera. The other thing that I would point out right here, when we start talking about losing Title I funding, Title I funding affects over 1,000 schools in this state, and it helps 960,000 students in Illinois. And one of the things that Title I funds provide are free and reduced lunches for those that cannot afford them. And as an educator, I do know that if a kid comes to my class hungry, they really can't focus on learning. So all of this is going to have a negative impact on the quality of education, because ultimately, I think the governor said it, what's going to happen, because Illinois can't really cover the hole that it's going to create, there's going to be closing of facilities and, you know, less opportunity for some to go to college because Pell Grants and things of that nature. And the way I look at it, ultimately, we're depriving those kids of an opportunity to have a part of the American dream.
Yeah, you mentioned Title I funding. This is a federal program. It provides financial assistance to schools where a high percentage of the students are low income in order to help them, you know, meet academic standards. I want to share a text message we got from Vicky in Centralia, Illinois, who said, "As a retired Title I teacher, I know the crucial difference Title I funding provides to a school district. It provides support to students who are disadvantaged because of economic hardship. Title I provides important support to classroom teachers by allowing for small group instruction. Title I provides needed instructional materials, which regular school budgets cannot fund. Many valuable parent educational programs to instruct families on how to help their children at home are Title I funded. The school districts need Title I for student achievement. It is not a luxury," Vicky says. "I challenge the ones making the cuts to this vital program to visit classrooms to personally witness what they are cutting. Better yet, turn the classroom over to them for a few months. I bet they won't last a day." Vicky, thank you for that message. Al, I don't know if you want to respond to what she had to say there.
I absolutely 100% agree. And one has to wonder what's behind this dismantling the Department of Education, the Trump administration's push. It's not about helping kids or their families or our communities. To me, it's about privatizing education for profit. And at the end of the day, education is here to help everyone, and we don't need to limit access. It's a public right. And so, yeah, anything that we lose that helps us deliver on that promise is a bad thing for those that lose that support.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the Trump administration's move to dismantle the Department of Education, laying off hundreds and hundreds of over 1,000 workers by this point in the term there. My guests for this are Nader Issa, who's an education reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. He's been covering these issues. Al Lorenz, president of the Illinois Education Association, one of the largest teachers union in Illinois, one of the two big ones here. And Sharia Smith, president of AFGE Local 252, which represents education department employees. Also a civil rights attorney who herself was laid off from the Department of Education. Sharia, what's gone at the department after this latest round of layoffs?
Mostly everything. We're down to a skeleton crew. Before the layoffs, a lot of our work was slowed, if not all of our work was slowed by this administration. So this administration unilaterally, without congressional approval, shutting down our agency. What's gone now is morale, certainly. But any type of advocacy, any responsiveness we've had to American citizens, FAFSA some of the people laid off in this agency were responsible for making sure the FAFSA system was up and running and able to process free federal applications for federal student aid, or the free application for federal student aid. That slowed. Everything that's related to education that touches the federal government is slowed. or just will not exist. And unfortunately, that was the goal of this administration. They are doing it in a way that, in my view, is illegal, because you're doing it unilaterally instead of with a congressional approval. But that might get to why they're looking to dismantle education. When you dismantle education, you dismantle the ability of people to critically think and read and make determinations about what a regime or elected personnel they want. What they are doing exactly is what was written in Project 2025. And because of years and decades of attack on our educational system, we have, unfortunately, an electorate that did not read Project 2025. And so we are now going to, unfortunately, experience what happens when this nation decides that they no longer want to fund or support education. They no longer believe it is not only a right, but also critical for national security, which is what happened in the 60s when we realized that we needed to make sure that we are keeping in touch with, keeping up with Russian powers. I guess we have just given up that fight. And so, the question that you asked us before about, why this administration is attacking education, I don't think that they want a literate or thoughtful voting base. And I think we should all have our suspicions about why.
Nader Issa with the Chicago Sun-Times, you've reported on this. How have you seen the layoffs affecting Illinois workers at the Department of Ed?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual function of the department, the Trump administration, they don't have the right to end the department. It was created by Congress. Congress would have to be the one to shutter its doors. And there are also questions about whether the Trump administration could stop grants and funding that was allocated by Congress. And so this is the method that they're taking, by laying off the people that actually administer these grants and make sure that the funding gets out to states and to school districts. That's how this funding is being shut off. And of course, it's destabilizing. I mean, we're hearing from Sharia and her experience. It is destabilizing to the system and also to people. One day you're working, new administration comes in, they slow down your work, the next day you're gone. And it's, people have lives, they have families. Federal workers are going through a really tough time, not just at the Department of Education, but in other agencies. And for a lot of people who have been there for a long time, it can be really distressing to see work that you've sort of poured yourself into all of a sudden vanish. And it's a lot of people here in Chicago. Among the 1,300 federal employees who were laid off in the Department of Education, more than 50 of them were in the Chicago office. You have the whole Office of Civil Rights shut down here in Chicago, federal student aid. These are just things that are not going to be overseen anymore. There are questions about how they can continue.
I mentioned earlier, we invited the Illinois State Board of Education to join us. They declined, but a spokeswoman sent us a statement last Thursday. It read in part, the State Board received an informal communication from a career employee indicating that the entire state and grantee relations office has been reduced. This office provides guidance and support that helps Illinois and other states receive federal funding. The employee said there was no guidance on how to ensure the state continues receiving payments for programs. This is the extent of the information ISBE, the Illinois State Board of Education, has available at the moment, and it is deeply concerned about the potential implications. ISBE will be seeking clarity from senior officials at the U.S. Department of Education to help give families and students information they deserve to know about the $3.5 billion in federal funding we expect to receive in fiscal year 2025. LRN's just about 90 seconds, and then we need to take a break. But we've heard so much about federal funding being paused for all sorts of programs. How are you thinking about these questions of whether the state and its schools will get this federal money?
Well, I guess we have to wait and see, because what is obvious is there's a lot of chaos being fomented from the Trump administration. I cannot sit here with a crystal ball and know exactly what's going to happen. I do know that any decrease in funding is going to limit or eradicate opportunities for kids who are trying to do better for themselves and have a better life than their parents had. And again, have a part of the American dream. So whatever they do, if it's not helping us do the charge of delivering on that promise, it's going to be very hurtful to those families and communities.
All right. This is the 21st show. We're going to continue this conversation on what the Trump administration has been doing to dismantle the Federal Department of Education and what the fallout of that has been here in Illinois. If you want to join us, we're going to be on this topic for about the next 10 minutes only. 800-222-9455. What do you think of Trump's carrying out his campaign promise to eliminate the department? How do you expect this to affect schools in Illinois? What other questions do you have? 800-222-9455. We'll continue talking with Al Lorenz, president of the Teachers Union Illinois Education Association, Sharia Smith, president of AFGE Local 252, which represents education department employees, herself a civil rights attorney laid off from the department, and Nader Issa, education reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. More to come here after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking for the first part of our program today about cuts at the U.S. Department of Education. That includes some staff here in Illinois. We're talking about everything the department handles, how those cuts change things, and what that means for Illinois schools and students, especially as the Trump administration is looking to dismantle the department altogether. We heard from some of you in our texting group about this. Kathy in Nokomis said, "This is a terrible idea that will be extremely detrimental to Illinois schools, especially rural and poorer communities. This will only hurt the most vulnerable students who need support. The only people this won't hurt, like all Trump policies, are the extremely rich who live in large urban areas," Kathy said. We also heard from Christopher in Brimfield, who said, "It is going to make the gaps between the haves and the have-not only grow. Poor states will fall farther behind. With a population of less educated people, we are on our way to becoming a third-class country." We're talking about this with Al Lorenz, president of the Illinois Education Association, the largest teachers union in Illinois, Nader Issa, education reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times, and Sharia Smith, president of the union representing education department employees in Chicago. You can join us by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Al Lorenz, at the same time, the administration is cutting the Department of Education. The agency also seems to be going after diversity in education. There was a Dear Colleague letter from the department basically saying diversity initiatives would put federal funding at risk. How are you thinking about these threats? And I guess, what do you even understand the Trump administration to mean by diversity initiatives or DEI?
Well, using the term DEI as a negative term was their first foray into this. My thought is DEI is just another way of saying fairness and inclusivity for everyone. So if you're against fairness and you're against being inclusive to everyone, to the benefits that public education can give or any other walk of life, I would question the philosophy behind that, because who are you trying to help? As I said earlier, you are certainly not going to help students and parents and communities. They're not going to benefit from this. So if you use a banner like DEI to mask a lot of things, for example, these cuts in Title I are going to hit kids urban, rural, or suburban, and all of those things. It's not going to just be in the urban areas. And a lot of people that might not have thought that they were going to be a target to this are finding out slowly but surely that everybody that's not in that billionaire class, so to speak, are at risk.
You know, and one of the...
Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. You read a statement where the Illinois State Board of Education was, I believe it's that's where it's from, where they were going to seek answers from our agency's leadership about the impact. And I wish them luck. As the union president of the only union that represents all the workforce at the U.S. Department of Education, we've tried to seek answers from this agency, the agency's leadership, and the response we have received is that our agency's leadership is not the one making these decisions. These decisions are being made outside of our agency, outside of the leadership. And so to the point of DEI, just to let your listeners know what happened with our agency's implementation of the anti-DEI executive order, they placed a number of our workers across nationwide and in Illinois on paid administrative leave for suspected DEI activity. And none of these employees actually held jobs that referenced diversity, equity, and inclusion. They were civil rights attorneys, certainly, that enforced civil rights, or loan officers that helped effectuate student loans for people applying to colleges in Illinois and out throughout the nation. They put them on leave January 31st. To this day, we have not received an explanation about why they've been placed on leave and not others. And now many of those have been received termination letters. But what is troublesome about this anti-DEI is that, at least for the numbers of people placed on leave, we had 77 out of 70 of those 77 were women. 60 of those 77 identified as persons of color. And because we do not have a legitimate explanation, a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for why people have been placed on administrative leave and or fired for DEI, one has to suspect with this data that this anti-DEI is a purge, first in the federal sector workforce, but then certainly throughout this nation, of undesirables. And just for the data, it seems like the undesirables are women and persons of color, because that is who these terminations and these layoffs seem to hit most directly and have a disproportionate impact on. And again, this agency has not given us any explanation to show that these are legitimate. These terminations were legitimate. Terminations were not discriminatory, and they have eliminated the very people who would give that information to us or help make sure that there are not discriminatory workplace practices happening. They've eliminated our entire equal employment opportunities staff.
Nader Issa, we're coming to the end of our time here. So briefly, what sort of attempts to push back against the administration are you seeing?
You know, I think people like Sharia are working through their union, people like Al working through his union. But in terms of a big coordinated effort, there's a lawsuit from 20 states, from 20 attorneys general. Illinois is one of them, alleging that the cuts are unconstitutional because while they might not represent the actual shutting of the education department, they in effect are doing that. And so there is that legal challenge. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there's also other departments. There are concerns about the sort of widespread laying off of federal workers across all agencies. And, you know, that's something that politicians people want politicians to take up in Washington. You saw that with the disappointment in the Democrats and the passing of the federal budget last week in Congress. So this is an issue where folks want to see pushback, but it's coming here and there from workers unions at the federal government, teachers unions, attorneys general, mm-hmm. from blue states, and that's sort of it.
Yeah, and we'll have to see how this continues to play out. I'm sure there will be many more conversations to have on this topic. Nader Issa with the Sun-Times, Al Lorenz with the Illinois Education Association, and Sharia Smith with AFGE Local 252. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
And thank you.
Thank you.